You have a Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Was the theme of our singing, at least the second and the third hymn, on the concept of justification by faith. Now, I think this might be my first how-to sermon since the church has started. How to know you have peace with God. It's not a small issue. It's a massive issue. It's very important. It's important not just for some. It's important for all of us. How to know you have peace with God. Now, some of you, probably most of us, maybe all of us, have heard the name Saint Augustine. Augustine is in Florida. Augustine was the great Christian theologian of the 4th and 5th centuries. He once said this, "Our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." And what Augustine was getting at was that God made us for himself. But something happened in the history of mankind that made us restless. We didn't find our rest in him. Adam sinned, and it has infected and affected all of us. Old Augustine knew from painful personal experience the unrest of soul. Some of you know that he fathered at least one child out of wedlock. He was a fornicator, and he was proud of it. His mother was a godly lady, prayed for him. In his 20s, he finally got converted to Christianity, and he lived the rest of his life trying to persuade others to believe it. So this old saint, he knew the painful experience of unrest of soul. He also knew that the problem was his sin. It was the violation of God's law and the guilt, the liability to punishment, that comes along with our sinning. Everyone, according to the scriptures, has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. So nobody comes out of the womb with peace with God, having peace with God. Matter of fact, there is no way to have peace with God unless God himself devises a way to secure peace with mankind who has fallen into sin. And the reason why Grace Reformed Baptist Church exists is because God has devised a way to do that, and God has published that in the Bible, Old and New Testaments. It's called the Gospel. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How can we know that we have peace with God? Now, just saying that we can know is quite bold. Some people think they know that they have peace with God based on their senses, their intuition. I just have a gut feeling about this. I feel that I have peace with God. I just know it. Now, a lot of people say that, and it sounds good. And if you say, "Well, how do you know it?" And they just say, "I just know it." It's like looking up in the dictionary. You look up the word fan, and the definition is fan. I know it because I just know it. It doesn't follow, okay? You can say that all you want. I just know I have peace with God, but wishful thinking doesn't deal with your sins and guilt. And it doesn't create and it doesn't assure peace with God. How can one know that they have peace with God? It's got to be more than just a hunch of the heart. Others say things like this: "I hope I have peace with God because I try to do the right things. I try to treat others like I want them to treat me. I live by the golden rule." Now, many people think this way. All you got to do is live by the golden rule, and you can know you have peace with God, or at least you can know. But that doesn't answer the question. I said, how can you know? I want certainty here. Don't you want certainty? Don't you want certainty about peace with God? Don't you want certainty about what's going to happen to your soul after you die? I hope you do. That's what this text gives us. Therefore, having been, something's happened to these people in the past, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an important text. That's a massive text. Now, people that live by the golden rule, then they kind of cross their fingers. Because, do you really live by the golden rule? Really? The way God intends it perfectly? Everything you do in thought, in affection, and in actual deed is done not for your own well-being, but for the well-being of others? So that they in turn might do the same to you? What about the last time somebody pulled in front of you on the freeway? Did you say, oh, I'm sure you didn't see me. Go ahead, neighbor, take it. No, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't live by the golden rule. It's not good enough. We sin. That's our problem. Still, others don't think we can know at all that we have peace with God. They might put it this way, we do our best and then we cross our fingers. I was talking to a lady, a dear lady, who I knew very well in her 80s or possibly even 90s. And I thought this could be one of the last time I see this woman. And so I said, don't you want to know that you have peace with God and safety after you die? She said, well, you do the best you can and then you cross your fingers or something like that. And I thought, that's not what this text says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, here's the result, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that you do your best and you cross your fingers and you hope in the sense of maybe, maybe not. Hope, by the way, in this context, is the confident expectation that what God said He's going to do, He's going to do. Okay? That's what I mean by hope. But most people use hope like, I don't know. You know, I hope I've done good enough. Let me tell you something. You haven't done good enough. You'll never do good enough. That's why the gospel is such good news. It's outside of us. It's not us. We don't do it. I've done it. I've secured peace with God. By my doing. No. It was the doing of another. And the doing of another included the dying of another. Why did he die? Because we're guilty. He absorbed, he exhausted punishment. He was punished not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. Why did he do perfectly? Always pleasing his Father. Because we, human nature, we owe God perfect obedience. But we don't do it. We can't do it. We're sinners. So another has been sent by the Father. He assumed a body that the Father prepared for him. And he did and he died for us. And you believe that, you're pronounced righteous in God's sight. Not based on what you did, but based on what he did in the past. And you receive that by faith. Okay, faith is the open hand, the channel, the means through which this pronouncement from God comes upon a soul. You're righteous in my sight based on the righteousness of my Son. You believe the gospel, you have peace with God. Now, you don't always have the peace of God. You know, people make a distinction between peace with God, something that can't be altered with and changed, because we have that through what Christ did, and the sense of peace, the peace of God, I just feel at ease now. There are some times when the greatest of Christians, like the Apostle Paul, he didn't feel at ease in Romans chapter 7. He called himself a wretched man, okay? So I'm not talking about the sense that in our soul that I have peace. I'm talking about the lack of warfare between heaven and my soul because of what Christ did. Peace with God. So, we believe here because the Bible teaches it, that we can know if we have peace with God in the here and in the now. And the only way we can know for certain if we have peace with God is that God has to tell us the way and the means through which we can gain this peace with Him. Because only God knows everything. It's not just me telling you. I don't know everything. Although sometimes I might give the appearance that I do. Okay? Nobody knows everything save one, God. And when the one who knows everything there is to know about everything that exists tells us something, that's the Bible, we know it's true. There's no trump card. There's nothing behind the moon that can come out and say, hey, God, you didn't know about me, and I'm going to undo this truth about justification by faith and therefore peace with God. It's not true. You forgot about this piece of the puzzle. There's no information out there. There's no person out there that can trump God and His Word. When God says something, you can bank on it. That's why hope here is just not crossing your fingers, wishful thinking. It's confident expectation that what God says He's going to do, He does. And no one's going to stop Him. Now, this quest for peace with God is a life and death issue. It's vitally important, okay, for everyone to listen to these words. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You get this question wrong, this issue of peace with God and how to obtain it, you'll be eternally sorrowful. So don't get it wrong. Get it right. Get it right today if you don't understand it. If you get it right, that means you agree with this and embrace this and believe this, you'll be eternally blessed. You'll be eternally happy. You'll be eternally thankful. You'll be eternally at rest and peace with God and others. It's better than we think. Okay, it's better than God has even revealed. I mean, it's good, that which is coming for all believers in the future. It's wonderful, but it's even better because God hasn't told us everything. Okay, so you get this right, and you'll not only find that you got that issue settled, peace with God after you die, but you'll also find that you've got reason, in one sense, hope, to live each day now as an expression of your thankfulness to God. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to explain each part of the verse, and then we're going to draw out some applications. That will be tonight, the applications. This morning, I just want to look at the verse and explain the parts because it's very important, and I'm going to do it by some questions. The first question is this: what does it mean to be justified? Because it says there, therefore, having been justified by faith. That's a big word. It's a massive concept attached to that word in the Bible. And so I have six things I want to say about justification, or trying to define the word. Sometimes you can define words by their opposite. You know, look at the opposite of what the word means. In this sense, justification is the opposite of being condemned. To be condemned is a legal pronouncement that due to sin and due to guilt and in light of God's law and God's justice, one is under the sentence of damnation. What a terrible thing to think about. I am sentenced to damnation. I am not actually damned right now. I'm not receiving my punishment, but there's been a legal verdict against me. What a horrible thing. That's what condemnation, this side of actually entering into it, this side of dying, means. It's a legal term. It involves a pronouncement of doom. And it doesn't change our moral state. So condemnation announces a verdict of doom. If justification is the opposite, then justification must be a legal pronouncement as well. It's God saying something about us. Secondly, justification involves being pronounced righteous, that is, to be declared by God Himself as rightly related to God because we're rightly related to His law. See, this is our problem. We're not rightly related to God because we're not rightly related to His law. We sin. We violate His law. And that sin puts us in a disruptive relationship with God. We're still related. He's our creator, but we don't have communion with Him. But justification is a pronouncement that we're righteous. Look at Romans 3:28, or you can just listen to it. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Justification involves God's approval of a sinner's standing before the law of God. Isn't that weird? A sinner is approved in God's sight in relation to His law, and yet he's a sinner? Listen to Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Martin Luther once said that Christians are simultaneously righteous and sinful at the same time. Okay, so justification is God making an announcement. Let's just use me, for instance, about me. He's saying, Richard Barcellus, your relationship with me is appropriate because your relationship to my law is appropriate. Namely, you're not guilty and you're holy. Now, if you're here, you're going, I've been around you long enough to know you're both guilty and not holy. How can God say on my account that I am neither guilty nor unholy or unrighteous? How can He do that? That's a huge question, isn't it? Does He just, I forgot the name of that thing. Does He just, you know, the etch-a-sketch thing, shake the thing up and it erases? Is that what He does? He just erases everything and forgets about it? Well, we don't want a judge to do that at a law court, do we? Especially if we've been violated and we go there and the judge says, you know what, we're just going to forget about this whole thing. I don't care if they killed your son. I don't care if he killed your daughter. It really doesn't matter. We're just going to act as if it didn't exist. We're going to say, wait a minute, we went into this court for justice. Justice needs to be served. And it's the same thing with reference to God. We have to ask the question, if He can pronounce a guilty sinner as righteous, not guilty, and not in violation of His holy law, how in the world does He do that? That's where Christ comes in. That's where Jesus Christ comes in. That's the good news. God just didn't erase everything and say, you know what, sin, it is a big deal, but I'll get over it in time. Let's just forget about all that stuff, okay? He didn't do that. It was such a big deal that He sent His only begotten Son to be crushed on the cross by His wrath in order that He might get to people like me and save me. And I trust you as well. Justification involves God's declaration, His legal pronouncement, that the believing sinner is righteous in God's sight because of what Christ did on behalf of that believing sinner. Romans 4:5, but to the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness, verses 6-8. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Righteousness is credited apart from works. I am accounted as righteous apart from my doing. Even faith itself is not a work. It is a means through which we don't get peace with God by our doing, by our obedience, by our works. It is true. True believers work, but they don't work to their justification. They work from it. It's a result. Okay? We don't earn credit with God by coming to church, by not doing the worst things. Okay? We earn credit by God through the work and doing of another. There's merit before God. I have merit before God. It's not my personal works, though. It's not based on what I have done. It's all based on what He did. That you got to see this. Otherwise, you're going to mix it. You're going to say, yeah, I need Jesus, but you got to do things to make sure you get to heaven. No, He did it. It's done. We get peace with God, not through Jesus and our works. We get this unshakable peace with God, the absence of conflict and warfare, based on the righteous works of Jesus Christ, received through faith, as we'll see. So justification is a declaration of righteousness, not concerning our personal moral state, but concerning our legal standing as believers in Him. So the righteousness is His righteousness, credited, the technical word is imputed to the believing sinner's account. And it's free. It's not earned. It's not deserved. It's sovereignly given as well. And it is the basis upon which God pronounces us believers right in His sight. There's an old catechism. It asks this question. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardons all our sins, and He accepts us as righteous in His sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Somebody once said, justification is just as if I had never sinned. Well, that's true, but it's more than that. It's just as if I had always obeyed as well. We need both of those, and we get those from Jesus. So the first question is, what does justification mean? What does it mean to be justified? A verdict from God that you're righteous in His sight based on what Christ has done for you. Second question of our text, what is the means ordained by God to obtain this justifying verdict from God? Therefore, having been justified by faith. Justification by faith. Very interesting phrase here, by faith. Therefore, notice what it doesn't say. Therefore, having been justified by works, or having been justified by faith plus works, it's faith and faith alone. It's not faith plus good intentions. It's not faith plus a certain degree of sanctification, which means being holier like Christ. It's faith finding as its object something outside of ourselves. See, we don't have saving faith. Is not, I believe in Jesus. That's outside of me. He's in heaven. And what He did. And that which I'm going to do or presently doing for Him or going to do for Him. That's inside of me. Saving faith finds as its object something external to us. We need something from outside to do something on our behalf and do something within us. That's what the gospel is all about. Faith plus nothing. Not faith plus a good heart. Not faith plus good intentions. Not faith plus faithfulness or faith plus covenantal fidelity, which is another thing. Word for faithfulness. It's, as the Reformers said, sola fide. That is, faith and faith alone is faith is the alone instrument. The instrument that's all by itself. It's a tool designed by God through which we receive that which Christ has done for us. So, you say, well, but I'm a weak believer. It doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? All that matters is that you believe. The power is not in our faith. Faith is just a means. Yeah, but I have doubts sometimes. Okay, but what do you believe? I believe that Christ lived and died and rose on my behalf. Oh, you do you? So you believe that God sent His Son to bear the wrath of God for you and to live a righteous life for you and to be exalted on your behalf, and someday He's going to take you as a son to glory? Yeah, but I struggle. Okay, but does the degree of your faith determine the efficacy or power of the gospel and of God? Does the gospel depend for its truthfulness on how much oomph there is in my faith? No. Thank God. Just think if eternal realities depended on the oomph that I have in my heart toward the true and unalloyed belief of them. Just think if heaven was really real only if I believed it to be. Ay, ay, ay. That would be a terrible world to live in. Listen, there are things that are true and eternal outside of us, unchangeable, because a sovereign, holy, glorious being, the one who has made us, has ensured that those things are, has pronounced that they are true here in the Bible, and nobody can change them. And your little weak faith, little tiny weak faith, as long as it has Christ as its object, you're as good as glorified. Because that is what God Himself has declared. So it's not, Paul's more justified than I am, or the pastor's more justified than I am because he really has a lot of faith. Or the Puritans, boy, they were really just. Justification does not come in degrees. Okay? It's a pronouncement based on His righteousness credited to me. So faith is simply the hand that receives the righteousness of Christ. So, the second question was this. What is the means ordained by God to obtain justification? Faith, and faith alone. Therefore, having been justified by faith. It is not faith plus works, as we've already read, and there are many other places we could read. Third question is this, and there's just two more. What is the result of having been justified? Therefore, having been justified by faith, okay, that's in place. Whoever these people are, at some point in the past, they believed the message about the righteousness of Christ on their behalf. God made a legal declaration, justified. As a result of that, we have peace with God, or we are having peace with God. Not we might have peace with God. Our peace with God is contingent upon or dependent upon whether or not I really believe. Do we really believe? You ever hear that? Okay, we believe, but do we really believe? We just believe, okay? It's not like we really believe. It says here, they have been justified by faith. Weak faith, strong faith, something in between. Faith that has its object in Christ. And as a result of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the very clearly stated result of justification by faith. Peace with God. No more conflict. God doesn't look down at us anymore and say, child of wrath. You realize that if you're not a believer in Christ, that's God's pronouncement upon you, child of wrath. Paul even calls the Ephesian Christians in the book of Ephesus, he said, you were children of wrath. Therefore, if you are not a Christian, a believer in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, a believer in Christ, you are now a child of wrath. That means that you have wrath coming your way. It's not a good line to hear, is it? Hey, by the way, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, you got wrath coming your way. You're going to inherit something. Wrath. You say, well, I get the wrath of my boss all the day. Well, I'm not talking about your boss's wrath. I'm talking about almighty wrath from an almighty, holy being who has made us and preserves us. This is no small thing. These people had justification by faith, peace with God. No longer were they children of wrath. This result, this peace with God, isn't something that comes and goes. You can't be justified and then not justified. You can't have peace with God and then not have peace with God. Because this is not based on us. It's based on what God did in His Son and is sovereignly given to us by His grace through the instrument of faith. This result, peace with God, has nothing to do with our sanctification. Okay? You say, well, I'm going to church today so I have peace with God. No, if you believe in the gospel, you already have peace with God. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1, listen to this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you don't say, well, I'm going to do something so I get peace with God. Peace with God, in the context of Romans 5:1, comes as a fruit, as a result of this justifying verdict, this verdict that I'm righteous in God's sight based on what Christ has done for me. So this justification by faith includes the forgiveness of sins. Don't you know you need your sins forgiven? Okay? We need to be absolved of our sins. And you know how that comes? Not through a man, but through God and Christ. You don't come to me and say, hey, can you pray that my sins would be forgiven? I mean, I could, but it doesn't forgive you. I can't forgive you. And I'm not even a minister through which I can assure you that your sins are forgiven if I pray for you. But I know this much, if you go to God through Christ, believe the gospel, sins are forgiven. Fourth question, through whom is this result of having been justified by faith obtained? Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, here it is, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see the words by faith and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Same Greek words translated different ways. Because the second one, is, we could say this. This peace that comes as a result of the justifying verdict, all of that is based on or on account of what Christ has done. The reason why they say by faith, justified by faith, is because it's a slightly different construction, same word, say by as through, same word, but a slightly different construction. This is real technical, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm not going to say it in technical jargon. By and through sound almost like synonyms for us. But by faith is a means, is a channel through which something comes to us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ is on account of, on the basis of. So, what we have here is we have Paul saying, look, this having peace with God, which comes as a result of this justifying verdict, the whole thing is based on Christ, what He did, His righteousness, His life, His blood, His death, His resurrection for others. In other words, Christ brings peace between God and sinners because of what He does for them. If you're going to have peace with God, you're going to be justified. You're going to receive what God has already done through His Son on behalf of sinners. You're going to receive that. Faith is passive in that sense. It receives a gift. Faith is not the basis for the justifying verdict. The basis for the justifying verdict is Him, what Christ did. The means through which we receive what he did is the open hand of faith. So, here's the text. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So, I'm finished. Here's my question. Do you have peace with God? There's only one way to have peace with God. And it's the way of Romans 5:1. It's faith. Christ. The whole Christ. All that he is. All that he has done. God assuming human nature. God becoming man, yet never ceasing to be God. You know, great, Paul said, is the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16. And what he's talking about there is the incarnation, what we celebrate at Christmas time. God became man in order that we might be saved. Why did it need to be this way? Couldn't it be another way? Couldn't God have saved us through animals? God says himself, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. Then why did they have all those animal sacrifices back there in the Old Testament? You ever read it? There's a lot of blood there. Whoa, those were types and shadows. They were pictures. God was saying, you see this animal? This animal represents something that's going to come, that's going to obliterate guilt, that's going to take away sins. But we're not animals, so an animal couldn't be righteous on our behalf. An animal couldn't exhaust the eternal wrath of God on our behalf. But a man could. But not just any man, a unique man. That somehow within his person, this man who comes on behalf of other men, somehow his person has to crown his human nature with eternal, infinite value. Because he had to exhaust the infinite wrath of God. And yet no mere man could do that. And here is this mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to live, and he did. Perfect life. Came to die, and he did. He was crushed by the wrath of his Father. And he rose in victory. There's Easter. And the resurrection of Christ is not just about him. It's about him, but it's the implications. He rose, having lived and died on behalf of others. And everyone who believes is going to rise like he did in glory. So do you have peace with God? If you do, it's because you were justified by faith in Christ and all that he has done. And nobody can take that peace from you. So there's my how-to sermon. How to know if you have peace with God. Believe the gospel. I'll pray and then we'll sing a hymn and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that there's no court above the Bible. No one can trump God's word. There's no bit of information, any place in existence that's going to show it, the scriptures to be wrong. It's your testimony to us. You have preserved them for thousands of years, and we are very privileged to have them. Open eyes, the eyes that have already been opened, comfort their souls, and bring glory to your name in this message. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.